This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's start with the New York Yankees, BT. With all the losers we had yesterday, at least there's one winner in this town. The Yankees are going back to the World Series, first time in 15 years. And over the weekend, I mean, look, an incredible at-bat by Juan Soto to help get them there. You know, the Yanks took care of the Guardians. Hard-fought series in Cleveland for those games. But just over the weekend, it hit me thinking about the amount of time it's been. It doesn't feel like that because the Yankees are always in the postseason and have been very close to getting back to a World Series for years. But man, 15 years is a long freaking time between World Series appearances.
Yeah, and I think it feels the same way for me too. Like it feels, like the Knicks struggles all these years, and it feels like it's been 50 years because they've been so bad outside the last couple, and they're obviously on the way up. The Yankees are always there, even if deep down, or seemingly always there, even if deep down when they leave Tampa, we're like, all right, probably not the team, don't have this, don't have that, don't have a left fielder, starting pitching, this, that, close, whatever it might be. Yankees have had a lot of deficiencies over the years, and I still think that they have a couple. Maybe this speaks to, you know, the imperfect 2024 baseball season, and, you know, a lot of interesting stories emerge, but when the Yankees get to the World Series, there's no bigger story in New York sports, and it's absolutely awesome. I'm loving it. I'm happy. I can't wait. Dodgers going to be tough. I've enjoyed this like so many of you. World Series tie. It's the World Series. What else did it say?
Whether you love them or hate them, it's just good for baseball. It just something feels right about having the Yankees back in the World Series. I'm not saying I want to see it every year, but man, 15 years is way too long between appearances. So we look forward to the Yanks. And congratulations to the organization and for the fans who have enjoyed this ride and for the young fans who never experienced stuff like this. 15 years is a long time. Yeah, you have a lot of young fans who've never experienced this. In my mind, it's like, oh, the Yankees are always there. And by the way, I felt like since 2017 that every year following that was going to be the year for the Yankees. Just a matter of time, just a matter of time. And then every year, it almost progressively gotten worse. And this year, hey, whatever it may be, the breaks that they got along the way, or you know, the weakened American League or the lesser, doesn't matter. They're in the World Series with a chance to beat the Dodgers and win the World Series, the first one since 2009. As for the Mets, they lost to those Dodgers, BT, and a fun season comes to an end here. And ultimately, like the chemistry, the OMG stuff, all the fun that this team had, they overachieved, but they met their match when they just faced a better team. So it's a team to be proud of if you're a Met fan, but ultimately a team that fell short, and that's something that we've been dealing with since 1986.
It's a team to be proud of. It's a season to build upon. There are certain seasons where, you know, it's just so, so ugly that, you know, the sports mind goes to a dark place. And then there's a kind of year like this where a Met fan might not ever have this type of season the rest of their life. I don't mean where they don't get back to the NLCS. I'm not saying that. But where it's so improbable based on the expectations, and there's such a, again, I don't want to use the word overachieving because it downplays and minimizes some of the big home runs and some of the amazing performances. But you know, this was supposed to be a year of evaluation of the roster. All right, what do we have in the minors? Who do we want to ride with? How do we sprinkle in the seeds and get that culture, which has proven to be very evasive for the Mets, sustainable culture, winning, not the occasional good team, like sustainable. And I know it's still sports, so you never know what's going to happen. But for where I'm sitting, I look at the Mets and I say, all right, owner's going to go bonkers this offseason. We already knew that. That's going to include Soto. He's going to try, amongst other things, and we'll see with Pete. They've got the general manager, and they've got the manager. So, and they've got now their star player who is now, you know, fully entrenched here in terms of Lindor with some all-time moments. They got a young ascending bopper who's going to be batting second or third next year in Vientos. Now, they got a lot of things to piece in because part of the amazingness of the season was the improbable contributions by guys who started the year in the minors or guys who were picked off the scrap heap. That only gets you so far, but I enjoyed watching the Mets this year. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, it was a fun season, and the foundation is there. I do think the future is bright. We felt that way, you know, before the year. So I'm certainly going to feel that way after we, you know, what we saw from this year. And it was a special year. But ultimately, and I think both things can be true. You could sit there and say, "Well, this was a team to be proud of," but you could also be disappointed. Like the Mets were so good, in fact, that they made fans really believe that they were a team of destiny and that they weren't going to beat the Dodgers and win the World Series. Like it got to that point after the way that they got into the postseason, the way that they won in the postseason against Milwaukee, beating the Phillies. It was like, "Oh, this team is going to get to the World Series and win a World Series." That's how good they were that they really truly made fans believe. But ultimately, they fell short. And what's Steve Cohen here, the goal is not to get to the NLCS. The goal is not to be the little engine that could, that wins 89 games. It's to be on the level of the Dodgers or the Yankees, and they're not. And there's ways to go before they get there. Now, for the really bad, the football seasons, unfortunately, like the Mets at least prolonged their season. The Giants and Jets died on the same time way too early in the year. The Giants BT first. I mean, that was a despicable performance. A game I expect the Giants to play better, you know, at home against the Eagles. The Eagles clearly taking a step back this year, if not several steps back. And I thought the Giants were going to be able to compete with this team and maybe catch the Eagles. Yeah, Giants have done some good things. Catch the vulnerable Eagles team. And they didn't. They got pasted again. I don't know what else to be said. It's enough of Daniel Jones at the very least. If you're not going to, and I wouldn't change the general manager and the head coach. It's only year three, and I believe that there are good things there. It's time to end the Daniel Jones experiment once and for all because their record is what it is. They should not be 2-5, but yet here we are again.
And they still are miles behind until proven otherwise. The Eagles and even the Cowboys are a mess. They're still not on that weight class or in that weight class yet. You know, I thought the Giants had the wrong game plan. I said this to Sal a couple of hours ago. Like, all right, so left tackle's a mess. You got guys shifting around, and we're going to come out and throw the football? I mean, that makes no sense. And it resulted in 8 sacks. It resulted in no touchdowns. Again, what a shock when the Giants play at home. They don't score touchdowns. It's embarrassing. And the sound, you see, these are the things that reshape conviction in certain people. The way, like the optics of it. And not just that they were, you know, that the Eagles ran all over them, but then the empty seats at the end of the day, Eagle fans taking over the stadium, little extra salt in the wound, even though the Giants did the right thing, letting Saquon walk for that amount of money at his position. That can't feel good, and it just takes a few more of those performances, and I'm sure they'll have one or two more like that, I would think, the rest of the year, at home where it's that ugly and there's a level of despondency that eventually turns into apathy that might get Giants ownership to look at this and say, all right, even though you and I think that they probably have you more than me, I think a little, you think more than me, that they've got the right GM head coach. If that keeps up, changes are coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, something's got to change because the record continues to be what it is. Is there a way out of this? Like, is this while the quarterback's hurt or this guy's hurt? How are they going to win next year? What's the answer? Are they going to win next year?
Not with Daniel Jones. No, they'll never win with him.
Yeah, but okay, then what's the answer? Is it to draft the young quarterback?
You have to.
Okay, agreed. But are they going to win with a young quarterback? Probably not. Like, it also takes years. Next year is going to be year 4 of Shane and Dable. So
yeah.
I believe in Dable wholeheartedly. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that Brian Dable can be a great head coach. I'm a little less sold on Joe Shane.
And I probably agree with that, by the way. I'm more Dable than Shane.
I was going to give Shane more time. I don't think it's fair to judge a GM just based off of 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But the record is, they got to start winning. And now you're going to stick with this regime, let's say, and pick a new quarterback, then that's going to be another 3 years down. There just doesn't seem to be a way out for this Giants team anytime soon, which is infuriating. As for the Jets, it's a complete opposite where there is no foundation. There's nothing really to be hopeful with the Jets for me, BT. Like, is this the week that we all realize? I know I've been ahead of the curve on this one. Can we all realize that the Jets just aren't any good? I mean, they have assembled a roster with some talented players, but they are not a good team. They're 2-5. They played 7 games and have lost 5 of them. Infuriating. You could pick apart different reasons why. Underachievers. You know, guys just not gelling. Offense, defense, special team, no coaching. Penalties. It's they're just not good. The New York Jets have a talented roster, not a very good team on the field, and it's just it's getting tough to take. It's time to blow everything up.
Yeah, I'm not going to push back on that. It's horrendous. It's almost like, you know, somebody wins a lottery and they have no idea how to manage money, and they're just buying boats and condos for everybody in the family. And I'm not saying I wouldn't do that for my family. I would. But there's got to be an element of managing the money properly. Otherwise, it's going to be gone. And, you know, the Jets coming into the year, they appeared, you know, just to keep the money theme, affluent and at the head of the table in terms of their talent. They're not. They got talent, but it means nothing. It means nothing if you can't manage it, you can't push it forward. I don't see a lot of leadership at all. I see a lot of rolling of the eyes. I see a lot of soft play. Guys still not wrapping up and finishing tackles. And you can tell me all you want, and I respect this, I guess, but it doesn't matter after a while. Yeah, he took accountability. He put ownership on himself. I was horrible as Garrett after the game. But you know what? It's your third year. You're supposed to be a blossoming star, if not superstar. And I don't want to hear excuses. And right now the Jets are in an awful position of, it's this fragmented mishmash of not ready to win now, clearly, because they don't. And their quarterback's going to be 41 and looking more and more fallible by the start. So you can't think that they're going to be good next year. And I think even more problematic for the Jets is that they will squeeze out more wins than the Giants this year, just based on their roster. And they'll be even further away from getting the franchise quarterback. So whenever they decide, or he decides for them, Rodgers, that he's done with football, where the hell do they go? Where do the Jets go?
The talent has been better as far as on paper. I mean, they bring in Devontae. Hey, here's the good news. Reddick's going to be in the house today, just in time. That's what they need. Yeah, another talented, useless player when it comes to building a team. The Jets somehow have more talent than they had a year ago, and they have Aaron Rodgers healthy. And yet they've gotten worse than they were with Zach Wilson. I mean, it's unacceptable. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bob is in Connecticut. What's up, Bob?
Hey, BT, Sal. How's it going?
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
What's going on, man?
So here's the deal. I think the best thing that happened to the Giants happened yesterday. Because if the Giants don't do anything about Daniel Jones, and for example, if he gets hurt, that on for Joe Shane, that's like almost corporate malfeasance if that injury clause gets triggered.
Yeah.
If that happens, he needs to get terminated immediately. Now,
Dable said he's going to play. I mean, Dable, who knows what a lot can change. I guess Dable said Jones is still the guy, so.
Well, that's okay. I like Brian Daboll a lot. I like, you know, I have faith that he's knowledgeable at least enough to get, you know, score points. Obviously, why would I believe that after what I've seen this year? But if Brian Daboll, like, you know, if he gets hurt, he needs to go too, because this quarterback, this numerical, like, boondoggle that the Giants will go on, if he gets hurt, is going to be crippling. I mean, this is a huge deal. I'm telling you, it's just about optics. In 2 weeks, Tommy DeVito is going to be starting, because otherwise the team is going to be, if he gets hurt, it's all over. It's all over.
It's over anyway, Bob, and thank you for the call. It's over anyway. Like, that's what you, this season, another lost season. Remember, BT, we're talking about a team that exceeded all expectations in year one with Shane and Dable. Last year, to me, was supposed to be the next step forward. Not that they would get as far as they got, meaning winning a road playoff game, but just showing that the foundation was being built. And it total regression every which way, shape, or form last year. Okay, so this was supposed to be the year where they're back to being on that playoff trajectory and starting to build. Malik Nabers comes in, and guys are healthy. Thomas is healthy. Look at the way they trade for Burns, and look at that defense. And yet, here we are, the 2-5 again. Like, we all know, maybe now they know. Do you think Mara knows at this point that Daniel Jones sucks? Like, do you think actually he gets it, or does he still think? Like, what's the excuse now? We've done everything we could to screw this kid up. We haven't built enough around. What's the excuse now?
There's no way he can look at him as an asset moving forward. Do I think that he's more hopeful or hanging on to that last rope of belief than what? Yeah, I think so, because I think he was so mentally in early. But listen, you're right. It's over this year, but they need to pull Daniel Jones, because, you know, what lays ahead, and we brought it up, the caller brought it up. Like, we talk about a $23 million injury guarantee, which is the number for next season for 2025. You can't roll the dice. I mean, mate, and I know, and I watched a little bit of Dable's press conference on MSG yesterday, the coverage post game, and he did say Danny's still the guy. That's fine. Danny can still be the guy for one more game. And if the Giants are losing, they're 2-6. At that point, it is reckless and it is just irresponsible, in my opinion, with all due respect to Daniel Jones, to run him out there, because then it's got to turn to 2025.
Yeah, it's already there. This year's over.
No, I know it is for the year.
So then if that's the case,
season, like, they're going nowhere.
Right, so then why even risk running Daniel Jones out there?
I wouldn't, but I'm just saying, because he said yesterday that he's going to play, I'm hoping that he means just one more game and then reevaluate if they lose. It can't mean forever this season.
As much as I believe in Brian Daboll as a head coach, and I do, like, all in, fully believe in him, the Giants organization is a mess.
Yep.
It's still a mess.
They've been a mess for 15 years.
Yeah,
they've
saying.
Had one good year,
it basically. Doesn't, it doesn't mean that they don't have the right guys in place now, but right now, it's a mess. And it starts with the quarterback. But they created this mess.
Yeah.
It's why I said when they hired Shane and Dable that we should have then moved on from Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley both. Right then and there. Start fresh. It didn't make any sense to bring both those guys back. And yet they did. And on top of that, they give Jones a contract that now it's a problem to begin with. For last year was a problem. And now, not only this year is a problem, moving forward it could be a problem if he gets hurt again.
Listen, I do think
it's a mess.
It is a mess. I do think there's been not so much to sitting him, because now 2025 begins to pop up on the radar of like on the watch list here. You just can't hand him almost $25 million next year if he goes down, God forbid, with a big injury this year. But I do think when he signed the contract, and even early on when there was either regression or there was an obvious non-continuation of the 2022 season, and like it just wasn't this uptick, and people were really all over the map about the contract. I get it when you see the number 40, whatever it is, it seems massive. But really, based on the cap percentage and the cap, and I know that some people don't really care about this. And I'm not even saying that you should right now. But I still think there's even a little bit of misrepresentation of how damaging the contract has been, because it's always about percentage of quarterback making versus the cap. And it's not that, it's not bad. It's in line with the rest of the league. But at some point, you got to cut the cord. He's either going to elevate the franchise or not. And I think at this point, there is we all know, not an elevator.
Andrew is calling from Jersey City. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. First of all, it's Angel, not Andrew.
Angel. Okay, Angel.
A long-time listener. Hey, I just wanted to say, first and foremost, thank you, Mets organization, for meaningful baseball in October in a long time. I've watched the 86 Mets win the World Series, and that was the last time I've ever seen a World Series for the Mets. But thanks for a great season. Second, I would like to know your guys' opinions. If there was one thing to turn the season around for the Jets, what would it be? I'll let you guys go at that.
I would say an injury to Josh Allen. That's it at this point. I mean, they're going to beat the Patriots. They'll be 3-4. When you're 2-5.
3-5.
When you're 2-5 now and it's almost Halloween, where are you going?
Yeah, you think they're gonna going to be. Are they going to beat the Texans after that?
I did.
Yeah.
That's on Halloween. That's at home. But, I mean, after last night's slop fest, I mean, I'm not going to say they're going to win that game now.
Right.
Why would I say that now?
And even if they did, so they're 2-5.
Are they capable? Sure. But they've been capable of winning all these games.
And they've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah.
By the way, the Niners aren't as good as everybody thought that they were going to be. And that and you referenced this many times, they were lucky to win week 2. Like, really, the only good game they played was against the Patriots, who were the worst team in the league.
They're bad. Yeah. So they're Carolina. Carolina's probably a little worse, but I'm with you on the
other
stuff.
They'll beat New England.
Yeah.
And beyond that, they're not going to beat the Texans. And even if they did, that would still get them to 4-5. Like, think about how it's going to take you 3 weeks just to get back to 500. That's if you win all three.
If you don't stumble. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to know. It's easier to find out, like, hey, how many 2-5 teams have made the playoffs?
Yeah.
That's fairly easy, just a little Google search. But of those teams who started 2-5, I'd like to know, and I'm sure there's some of them. But
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But how many of those teams have lost four straight? Like, that to me is more reflective of who they are than the five losses overall. When you find a way to lose four games in a row, it's not just one thing. It's a multitude of things going wrong. Which means you probably can't win four games in a row to offset the losses that you already have.
Two of them at home, one obviously at a neutral site. Like, it's not like they had...
And you were favored in most of these games.
I actually can't even believe it's gotten this bad. Even I thought, and I didn't have high expectations, this is even worse than I thought. One thing the Mets couldn't do, BT, the Yankees are going to have to do, is hit. We talked about it going into the series with the Dodgers. I felt like the Mets were going to have to score early and often to compete in this series, and that's exactly how it played out. Now, what happens? The Mets just didn't have enough. Like, Brandon Nimmo, I thought, killed the team. And Nimmo's playing hurt, which is fine, and I'm okay with Nimmo as, you know, like a six hitter in a really good lineup, not as a 2-3 hitter. He's way too inconsistent. Like, enough's enough. How many times do we have to see it before we just realize this is who he is? Mm-hmm. He's a good offensive player.
Yeah.
He's way too inconsistent. He can't be hitting second or third in a good lineup. You just don't fear Brandon Nimmo.
No, you don't. And you don't fear him on the bases in terms of speed. You don't fear him in the outfield with an arm, which is subpar, which is why he's now in left field. You do respect him, and he does contribute to the bottom line. But you know, and this is where the recalibration is going to have to come for the Mets, where there's going to have to be a prioritization on getting guys who really belong in those spots,
right.
And one of which is that now maybe Vientos is that hitter in the three spot for years moving forward. He probably will be, but I think they're a better team. Nimmo 5, Nimmo 6. Now you're messing with something.
Now we're talking. That's exactly. Or even I was thinking it with Pete DH.
Uh-huh.
Like, you want to have Pete 4 or 5? Okay, but he should be the DH, not first baseman. Even last night, like, two things that really disappointed me about this Mets series. Number one, the defense. I thought the defense killed them in Game 3 with Severino to start.
Yeah.
And just overall, Pete, sloppy defense. Iglesias even booted the ball.
Made a nice one last night. Then he flipped it. That was Diaz.
Yeah.
His foot was a weird flip.
Even Pete, the way he throws it.
Like,
he's got that loose wrist. Like,
I know.
Dude, come on.
I know.
Anyway,
there are
things. To me, the reason why the Mets lost, obviously they weren't good enough, but the defense wasn't good, and their core offensive players, which is now changing. Maybe Alvarez takes another step forward or a step forward next year. And Vientos being an impact player, but Nimmo can't be a big time guy. Pete, I don't think should be. They should not invest $200+ million and have him be the first baseman. I would have him be a DH and pay him in accordance to what the DH rate is, as opposed to a first baseman. But the Yankees, the reason why they can compete with the Dodgers, because look at their lineup in comparison to the Mets. To beat LA, you're going to have to hit. I don't care how much pitching you have, you're going to have to hit. So while the Mets' best guys were Lindor, Vientos, Nimmo, Alonso, the Yankees were the red-hot Gleyber Torres, all-world Soto, Judge, Stanton. That's where they can compete in this series. That's different from what the Mets did.
Yes, although I think the Dodgers, some of their hitters profile different than like somebody like Stanton, who has been amazing. I didn't realize this, but yeah, 15 postseason home runs for the Yankees. Babe Ruth has 15. Now, Babe Ruth, there was no wild card or the additional series, but Babe Ruth also played, I think it was, 17, 18 years with the Yankees, and Stanton's played 7, whatever the number is. So many fewer games here, and his prowess is, I'm not going to say equal to Babe Ruth, but the fact that they both have 15 is absolutely insane. But when he's not going yard, and who knows? I mean, does he carry this over? If he does, he's going to be an absolute all-time Yankee if they win the World Series, which sounds crazy saying it. But if he's not hitting home runs, he's not bringing anything else to the table.
Right.
And that's where I think that the Dodgers might have a little bit of an advantage with a couple of guys who can run.
Right.
You know,
well, they're a better team. Hey, the Dodgers play a better brand of baseball. We know what the Yankees are. They're not good on the bases. They're not a
they're
great.
They're horrible on the bases.
Okay, they're not a great defensive team. The pitching inconsistent, and the offense has been far too reliant on just two guys or the long ball. Now, when they're hitting the home runs, everything looks great. But are they going to be able? I mean, the Yankees also left a ton of guys on base early on in these games with a chance to break the game wide open.
Many times.
Settle everything else down, and they didn't do it. If you do that against the Dodgers, you're going to get beat. The Yankees are going to have to up their level of play and also hope the Dodgers, as you said, called them a machine, malfunctions to a certain extent.
Yeah, I said that the other day.
Yeah.
That's how you beat the Dodgers. I said Dodgers pertain to the Mets. Dodgers are a machine, and the only way a machine, gets wacky is if it derails itself, because and they're showing no signs of that, so the Mets need to do it. I'll tell you this. Think about, back to the Yanks for a second, real quick. So think about all their opponents here. You know, 96, it's the Braves, and obviously the Braves and the Padres, and then the Mets. I mean, that was a big one in terms of the profile. You know, the Marlins in 03, the Diamondbacks before that, Phillies in 09. Like, there's been a marquee matchup or two, but we have not seen Yankees Dodgers.
I also
that's sick.
I also don't think now 96. The Braves were world champions in 95, and especially the first two games. So, like, you could say the Yankees, and that was the beginning of the dynasty. So they were underdogs. But maybe outside of 96, when was the time you went into a World Series feeling like you might not be the better team?
Phillies. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure about the 09 Phillies.
I wasn't positive. I guess I never felt that, but it doesn't mean that it was right or wrong.
I mean, they had a couple of good pitchers. And the
Phillies were coming off the World Series in 08 as well.
They won in 08 when they beat the Tampa Bay Rays. I went into that. Plus, Yankees hadn't won it a couple of years. Some of the exits, again, we're in the 09 mindset. Some of the exits before that, whether it's Alex Rodriguez getting benched and batting eighth or ninth in Detroit and letting the Tigers back in, like they were losing the Angels, weird teams. And so my mind was different. And again, I think right now the odds are fairly, even. Flip a coin. I mean, it's going to be, I do think this one comes down to the stars, because I think that there's enough issues with both, like the Dodgers starting pitching. I don't know about now. I want to see how the Yankee relievers bounce back from a couple of tumultuous outings. But if Ohtani and Betts and Freeman hit, that's one thing. If Judge, Soto and the other guys hit, that's quite another.
BT and Sal on the fan. Pat is in Boca Raton. What's up, Pat?
How you doing, guys? Great show as usual.
Thank you. What's up?
I got like two questions for you guys. First question is, being a Yankee fan, if they win, pertaining to Soto, if they win the World Series, I know we've gone over this a million times, do you feel like the Yankees would walk away from Soto and say, not really go after that 650, 700, whatever he wants,
no.
You know what I mean? Whatever it comes to. Or do you think they'll really go full force or give that fake effort, kind of, I'll let him walk, we won.
Well, just enough to, let Yankee fans feel good about the offer, and just light enough for them to justify him leaving it at the altar and walking away. Listen, that's the question. For the Yankees, I actually think that, I'm going to tell you how I would feel. Like, if the Yankees win the World Series, I can make the very, very justifiable case that the prudent move is to move forward without Juan Soto and take all that money, and now who knows what Dominguez is truly going to be, but, start rolling out a Dominguez and a Wells, hopefully growth with him and Volpe, and kind of recalibrate. Not that I don't want Juan Soto, he's amazing. He's like a med chemist hitting, like he's a surgeon, this guy. But you can make, if they win, so you scratch the championship itch, now you take all that money and you kind of funnel it, not all of it, but most of it, in different directions and fortify the future rather than one spot. If they lose, especially if he plays well, and they lose, and you're like, man, you just come up short, and then he walks, and then he wins somewhere else, or the Yankees don't win again, I don't think they could take that risk. Oddly, if they win, I think there's a bigger chance he's gone.
I mean, initially I didn't think it was going to matter whether they win or lose. And I don't think it matters from his perspective either way. He's going to want his money. From the Yankees' perspective, I also think they're in too deep to where, like, they almost, regardless of the result, have to bring him back. But I do agree with you that it doesn't mean it's the right move. See, what Soto would do to somebody like the Mets is so different than what he does to the Yankees. If they don't win the World Series, do you think paying Soto $600 million or whatever it may be is going to be the answer moving forward? It's more likely than not other reasons why they didn't win. I'm not saying they didn't get here because of him, because without him, they probably wouldn't be here.
Yep.
But I feel like they've got a lot of work to do to build a good team, which would make more sense than to spreading that money around to your
And
point.
I've always thought that to an extent.
Understood.
I've always seen that
side. Plus with Soto, like, you're going to have to live with the decline in defense.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a matter of fact.
It's a Gold Glove finalist.
Well,
it was amazing out there.
But what he brings to, say, the Mets is legitimacy, star power. The Yankees already have that without Soto.
I'm with you there, but you talk about the legitimacy. The Yankees weren't a playoff team last year, so he brought the legitimacy.
But they have stars.
I know. Well, they have one.
Yeah.
They have Judge.
Well, I mean, Stan's a star, too.
Yeah, no,
Stan was an MVP. The Yankees got him to be the guy. Just because he has sucked the majority of times since he's been here doesn't mean he's not a star. You're seeing what he can do when he's at his best.
No, he's a big moment, rise to the occasion, postseason masher. But over 162, you know, you're going to have a month where he's gone, 5 weeks where he's gone. So I don't think that plays well, especially if you don't have Juan Soto to help, you know, cover that up. I don't know. But then from the Yankees' perspective, as much as I think if they do win, it's easier to justify letting him go somewhere else. Not that I want it, but I'm thinking from their shoes. They might also look at it the complete opposite and say, this is another legend. Now he's a champion Yankee legend, and now we flush out even more money. I don't know. But I do know that he's going after the money.
Well, let me ask you this.
I think it's seven.
What do you think fans want?
For the Yankees?
Yeah.
They need him to stay.
Correct. So, knowing that, regardless of whether it's the prudent move or building your team better, you cannot let your fan base down. You brought the guy in here, you've got to keep him. Yankees don't let guys walk for more money. Like, they don't.
Unless they wanted to. Like, yeah, you know, they didn't really want to retain Robbie. That was thought to be an irresponsible offer. They knew there were some whispers that maybe he was.
This would hit harder.
Messing with the meds, if you know what I mean, and they let him go. Oh, this would be so much harder.
Especially if he went to the Mets. Mark is in Oceanside. What's up, Mark?
Another great show, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
In watching the Mets and the Jets lose, you had such opposite feelings. As a Mets fan, you could say, I'm proud of this team. They fought like the devil. They gave us everything they had, and we had an excellent time watching them and an excellent ride. Watching the Jets is just, it's almost an embarrassment. They're like a disorganized second-grade class, everybody going in different directions. They have no plan. The worst thing that could happen to them, Sal, is they go 6-4 for the rest of the year. They wind up 8-9, and their clueless owner says, oh, we turned it around. We finished strong.
No, he's not saying that after 8-9. There's no chance he's saying that. No way. No way.
No way, Mark.
Not
we appreciate
this year.
The call. There's no way. I mean, Woody's got to know. Now, Woody's tried everything. But he also said, when he made the change a couple of weeks ago, he said flat out, I expect the wins to start coming now.
Yep.
Well, now, like,
0-2.
Now doesn't mean 3 weeks from now. I think now meant now. 0-2. In two winnable games.
It really is amazing where they're at. It's almost unbelievable, but it's them. So it's believable.
I know, but I will say, again, I was not one who had high expectations for him, but even that, 2-5.
I am stunned by the 2-5. Yeah,
like,
yeah. And the Broncos
like,
lost.
What are we doing here?
And the way they've lost. No, I get it. I guess, you know, big picture, if this morphs into what it looks like it's morphing into, you know, 8-9, 7-10, even 9-8 is unacceptable. I'm sorry. If it goes in that direction, I don't know that I would be stunned at the end result, but I am stunned sitting here, even with the built-in Jet expectations of something going wrong to an extent, because I try to plow through that, as you know. 2-5? I mean, yeah, and the way they've looked and lost, they haven't really looked good. They've looked good once. Looked like a functional, organized, cohesive team once the whole season.
And that was against the awful...
The worst, second worst team in football.
I mean, can they even realistically win 8 games?
They're going to beat the Patriots, so that's
right.
3.
Okay.
I mean, 2 is coming back, so if you thought they were going to beat
that's
the Dolphins
I mean.
Twice, that's probably more like
so
once.
Even if you split them, you're beating Buffalo in Buffalo?
I mean, no, I thought they'd beat them here. I don't think they'll win up there.
All right, so
probably
let's,
not.
Let's count the ones. Let's give them
By
one.
The way, Amari Cooper, touchdown for him.
Yeah, I saw that. Let's give them one against the Pats, one against Miami.
All right, that's 4 at this point.
Home against the Rams?
They'll win that game.
Five. At Jacksonville?
They'll win that game six. Or at least have a good chance to.
Okay. Home against Seattle?
They'll have a good, very good chance to win that. Seven.
Home against the Colts?
They should win that game.
Okay, so it's eight total?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you're beating the Texans?
You asked me that before, and I feel like it's a loss
now. You got to get a loss there. I mean, home against the Texans, at Arizona, and at Buffalo was the other ones.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't have much faith in these guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Aaron Rodgers looks old. Garrett Wilson looks like he's taking a step back. Sauce Gardner's getting pushed all over the field. The offensive line is still a mess, and the secondary is now ravaged. They had four or five guys go down last night, and they were already missing Michael Carter and DJ Reed. Like, how many guys can get hurt? They have. I understand that.
And the reason why I even brought it up is because, like, at 2-5, it's not just that the record is bad and what we've seen from the team is discouraging, to say the least.
Uh-huh.
It's that mathematically, you've got to go 8-2 over your final 10 games to get to 10 wins.
Yep.
Like, based on what exactly would this team go 8-2? Even if you paint best case scenario. Very difficult to imagine going to 8-2.
Best case scenario would be they get a kicker in here who kicks it straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just tighten things up. Like, if they were getting waxed every week, 31-7, 34-10, yeah. You know, 40-13, there's nothing to talk about. Season's over. The way they lose, of course, it makes it more excruciating and painful because that's what they do to us. But they really aren't that far. Even last night.
Okay.
You know, and this
right,
is,
but 8-2.
Yeah, no, it seems unrealistic for sure. Of course,
I guess you give them a win. Let's say 7-2 over the final nine because they're going to beat New England. They have a cupcake with the New England here. 7-2 over the final nine.
I mean, I'm not signing up for. I'm not racing to place the bet.
I'll tell you, a big difference is going to be Tua. Yeah. Because if without Tua, Miami can't move the football. So
yeah,
they're done.
I know.
I mean, those could be two wins there. It's not like the schedule. They do have a soft schedule.
He tries to lure me in every week, this guy.
I have an idea, by the way.
What's up there,
I know you said that they need a new kicker, which is good. I mean, that would definitely be helpful. They've traded for everybody else. They've traded for a wide receiver. Can they trade for a new quarterback?
This is what he gives us. Probably not, buddy. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying, maybe they can find somebody to throw the
ball. How about the Jets and the Giants work on a deal? Rodgers for Jones, straight up.
Oof. I don't know if you saw this one thing two things actually from the Mets. First, I want to start with the cut that we have from Lindor. Are we ready to play that there, Hoff? I know Zoo just stepped out for a second. So Francisco Lindor said something yesterday after the game, which I think is just so perfect and sums up kind of what happened this year between the fans of this team and Francisco Lindor himself. Take a listen to this soundbite.
Another year that I start and I struggle, and the fans push me to be better. The city of New York pushed me to be in a much better position to just grind. And you have guys like Viento, Alvarez, they come.
Okay, that was the point. We don't need to go on the whole thing, but the city and the fans push me to be better. And you saw it. Remember, we were talking about, hey, go out there and cheer the guy and whatever. And they did. Mets fans did give him that encouraging support where he kind of, you could tell that he kind of needed it. He was struggling so bad. But the city and the fan base made him better. And he's acknowledging that. That's why we're critical of players. We all want them to succeed. But it's good to see Lindor responding in the way that we had hoped as fans or media members being critical of his less than performance.
And I'm not surprised, although I was getting to the point where, like, all right, maybe this is the new Francisco Lindor ceiling. But, you know, all the conversations we've had on this show and other shows, social media, you know, it was a hot button topic for a long time. But we didn't just come up with it out of nowhere. Like, oh, you know, Lindor's amazing. Let's just start taking a dump on him and just make it seem like he's not nearly as good as he should be. No, the origin of the criticisms, and I was very surprised, you know, his first year here when he hit 230. And then obviously since then it's been better. But before this borderline MVP season, which he would win if it wasn't for Otani, there was always, to me, an element of less than. And we're going to hold you accountable. We're going to do the same for Aaron Judge. If Aaron Judge goes 2-for-25 in the World Series, or Gerrit Cole gets knocked around a little bit, or Aaron Boone mismanages the bullpen, and when it's time to answer the bell, and you have the big contract and the reputation, when you don't answer the bell, you're going to feel the heat more than most. He's got big boy shoulders.
Yep.
It shows that when you get through it stronger on the other end, even though it must have been a living hell for him, although he seems to have really good balance in his life with his family, which maybe helps him more than anything. I'm sure it does. You know, it's not fun to be embarrassed. It's not fun to be less than who everybody knows you are. And too often as a Met, he was, and he solved it. And massive respect, and he's done it for a long time now.
And the reason why a lot of us were hard on him is because he was the one way out. He's got to be the guy. He's not going anywhere. He's here for a long time. He's the one who had the pedigree and the all-star resume. He needed to be the star of this team, and he turned into that even more than you could have imagined with his clutch ability down the stretch in the postseason. So a great year for Francisco Lindor and the Mets. Now, the other thing is, and this kind of also plays into the year, like it's been a year of Lindor, and it's been a year of, I don't know, gimmicks and fun stuff, whether it's the OMG, the Grimace stuff that they got into, the rally pin we talked about. Did you see Seymour Wiener? Of course, you should have known it was a good year when Seymour Wiener was honored. Did you?
If I
ask you, do you know what the Rizzler is or who the Rizzler is?
Dude, it is so funny that you asked me about that, because on Colts football team, they have like a lot of these youth teams that have chains, like a turnover chain, like you start seeing it in college, and they give out the Rizzler award to one player each week.
Okay.
And I asked the coaches, I'm like, so what is that thing, right? They're like, I don't know. The kids came up with it. I asked the kids, even my son's like, I don't know. Nobody knows what the hell it is.
Okay.
So I've heard of the Rizzler Award, but is there now a Rizzler mascot?
Okay.
What am I missing here?
Hoff, do you have any idea what I'm talking about when I say the Rizzler?
I know who he is just because of what happened, but I don't actually know who he is.
Zoo, do you know? So Hav, you saw what I'm about to talk about.
Yes.
But, okay, Zoo, are you familiar with the Rizzler?
I am. I'm not sure what you're about to talk about, but I have definitely,
know who he is. The Rizzler, for those of us sane individuals who have no idea what the hell it is, I guess is some guy on social media that somehow became incredibly famous on the internet.
Oh, I see him
for
now.
Touching his face, and then he's got a kid. He does like these odd looks and touches his face,
him.
And then now I think that's the son, or I don't know if that's the actual.
He looks, he's young.
Big
he's young
Justice
kid.
Is his son.
Who?
Big Justice, I think is
so. Big Justice, and now the Mets had him out at Citi Field during I think it was Game 5. And they did this thing going in the crowd, showing the Rizzler, and then they show him, and it's like some big thing.
Well, they scored 5 runs, by the way. As soon as they put him up, they scored a 5
now,
spot.
Now, my issue here is not with the Mets at all. Let's be clear. I've picked on the Mets enough. You know, the Temptations, all this. I mean, yeah, we needed that. Anyway, I've picked on the Mets. It's not about the Mets. It's about how in the world are we living in a society where somebody who calls himself the Rizzler becomes famous because of the unique way he touches his face. What are we doing here? Are you familiar with this, CeeLo, or no?
No, I'm just enjoying watching the veins pop out of your forehead.
Oh,
what
man.
Are we doing? The Rizzler? What? He's famous? Like, I guarantee you, Colt knows who he is. My nephew probably knows who he is. The Rizzler? Like, what? He's famous? To have the Mets at? Like, what are we doing? What is this in society?
Listen, things... Okay, I'm kind of with you, and I'm almost always with you on stuff like this, right? But, like, it...
Did you look into the account before you...
No, why?
It's like, no, I'm saying, like, his father...
I didn't. Why? Is the Rizzler family tree I need to explore now?
Well, no, you need to at least know a little bit where it's... So, like, because I'm like, what is this?
He's touching his face. He's giving signs
right.
from third base. Like, it's like,
right.
I don't... Listen,
so I still didn't get it.
I don't get it. I don't care to get it. Listen, I'm at a place now, and I never thought that I would get here, because I used to rail on stuff like this all the time. Maybe it's just the more mature me, the dad, whatever... If it makes people smile, I'm not going to get worked up, like legitimately worked up and conjure up like negative energy to shoot it down. Now, I don't have any time or place for this nonsense in my life.
Right.
I think it's idiotic. I do. And at my core, It bothers me that you can, not again him, he's a kid. No, I'm not talking about him. You can get famous for doing nothing. You can get famous for being rude by walking up, holding your phone, and slapping somebody and putting up on TikTok. Like, the world is a twisted, imploded disaster. The world is a mess. And stuff like this only adds to it. But generally,
it seems
harmless. Something like this is harmless. He's a kid. It's cute. They dropped the five spot. They actually, it worked. They put him on the Jumbotron. They scored five runs, literally, you know, a minute before they, after they put him up. So I'm not going to go nuts like you because he's young. But yeah, I do say, where are we going with
issue,
the world?
I just want to be clear. My issue is not with the Mets. It's not with the Rizzler or the kid or his father, whoever is the actual Rizzler. It's with, like, I just don't get it. Am I that old at 45?
Yes, that's
somebody
what it
who
is.
Touches their face in a different way is funny?
It's We're getting path. Old. That's it.
It's the path. Look at him doing it now, too.
That's funny?
It's a path to video relevance, which is...
Who looks at that and think that that's entertaining in any way, shape, or form?
Don't know. I think I have a pretty good sense of humor. I'm watching this. Egg is a cute kid. He's a big Mets fan. I don't think it's remotely funny. I really don't.
I'm like, I'm watching it going, what am I watching here?
And it's the Rizzler can now that I'm watching.
Yeah, the Rizzler can.
And it's on the biggest scoreboard in baseball, the Rizzler can.
And then I looked into it a little bit, and I was like, okay, so how does this, like, what does this guy do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there are certain people that do funny skits on the internet, and they become famous. Or whatever.
Sure.
The guy... Like, he touches his face.
He's scratching an itch. Some of them are real funny. Like, some of these reels, like, between, there's a lot of, like, wives in their 30s with kids, messing around with their husbands. Yeah. Not messing around, but, like, just keeping it real. Some of the things that I accidentally stumble on because I'm not looking for it are actually really funny.
Yeah.
There's one guy, I'm forgetting his name. Hoff, you probably know this guy. He puts a big pillow in his
coach.
The coach.
Yeah.
Oh, he is hysterical. The Italian stereotypical coach. I laugh out loud. I mean,
at least there's entertainment value.
It's entertaining. This is not entertaining.
I just don't get. Zoo, you're not into that, are you?
No, I hate it.
The Rizzler.
I thank you, Hoff. Hey, you don't even know what it was.
I still have no idea.
And CeeLo, you had no idea until you just saw this.
But now, because I know what the
Rizzler. We're getting old, man.
We are getting old.
Are we?
Yeah.
Well, a little bit.
Or are people just getting stupid?
Well, I think both.
Yeah. Both.
You know why it really angers me? Because I worry about how I'm going to tell my daughter to stay away from this crap.
You're not. She's going to find it.
No, I'm
going to
tell her. Look, that type stuff.
Yep.
Like Tony Soprano used to say.
Hey.
Outside, it's 1990, whatever.
That's right.
In here, it's 1950.
Well, it's one of his best lines. You know what, Sal? And I used to say the same thing. And I know you're going to try. And you go when you do try, like all seriousness now. When you do try to be that kind of parent, you'll probably have more success than most. But it is impossible. I don't mean like X-rated stuff. I mean, because there's the ways to, you know, eventually.
The Rizzler.
They're getting their hands on everything stupid, every stupid goofball, moronic YouTube short.
Oh, YouTube is.
I mean, it's just a rabbit hole of idiocy. I hate it.
Yeah,
but
sorry. It just
is what it is.
It infuriates me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.